We're so glad you're joining us online this morning as we are working our way through 1 Peter. And I believe this is a really important series, and I hope you are finding it as an encouragement and as just some help living in the world that we're living in. In fact, we're calling it living as a Christian in a non-Christian world. How do we understand our living as Christ followers in a world where more and more people are not following Jesus? They're going their own path. They're doing their own thing. And so we're just kind of answering that question as we go through this. I'm calling it a journey into 1 Peter. It is like taking this letter and just journeying into it and all that God has for us to learn during this time. I hope you've been doing some of these. We've had more and more people joining us as we've been doing a Bible plan each week. So last week, it was all based on the song Reckless Love. And we were learning more about what it means that Jesus loves us recklessly. And we said how important that was. So we're taking a Bible plan, about 5 days, and, you know, we're fitting it in. So it's helping you reinforce something that we did together on Sunday, but you're doing it on your own time. You're doing it as we're reading together, and you're commenting together, and you're encouraging one another. So if you're not on that, go to your app store on your smartphone, and you can download the Bible app, and you can join us, okay? Peter. Now, this is going to be really important for where we're going today. It's why I keep showing it, because I want you to understand who this is who's writing this letter. Peter starts off as Simon. Jesus is going to change his identity by changing his name. And God often did this. God took Abram and made him Abraham. Well, why did he do that? Because he needed to give him a new identity. He needs to give Peter a new identity. Partly because the second one, fisherman, it is where Peter found a lot of his identity. He lived in Capernaum. He was a denier of Christ, and that could have lived with him for a long, long time. He becomes the leader of the early church. He dies as a martyr. And part of why I believe he dies as a martyr is because what we're going to learn today that Peter had to learn. That is really important. It's important for all of us to learn. And it's going to begin with a question. You ready for this question? Here we go. Remember, this was last week, following Jesus' invitation to live being loved and loving others. Okay? Now, question. Who are you? Who are you? How would you answer that question? Now, I know for me, I get tied up in something. Maybe this happens to you. If somebody asks, who are you? Now, sometimes it depends on the setting. Sometimes if we're at my wife's work events, I'm Jill's husband, right? That becomes like my identity, okay? And a lot of times, okay, what do? Well, who are you? A lot of times goes to my job, my profession, and I'm known as Pastor Ed. Okay, it's what my email is, okay? And so that ends up becoming my identity. Sometimes when our son was in college, it was, oh, you're Stephen's dad. That was the identity that we had. But identity is huge. Who are you? And I would just ask you to think, what is the first thing you run to? Now, for all the guys out there, I'm going to tell you, we love to run to our profession. We love to talk about what we do, because what we do ends up so much being our identity. It's why, for some of you listening out there, you've struggled, haven't you? If you've retired, you've struggled. Because your identity was so wrapped up in your work and your job, you retired from that and you just went, who am I? What do I do now? I don't know. My identity was so wrapped up in my job, I don't know who I am anymore. And it happens to a lot of guys, and a lot of guys struggle. And then some of them will just find their identity in their spouse or find it in their kids or grandkids. We are people who need identity. So often, you ladies out there, you'll find your identity in your family, especially your kids. They become like this source of identity. And when they grow up and leave, you struggle with that. Why? Because, well, they're my identity. That's where I found my entire identity in. It's just, it is the way it is. And we can find our identity in lots of different things. Lots of different things. But that's the question that's going to be really important for us to answer today. Who are you? So as we jump into the text today, I want us to understand something. Here it is, that your identity affects not only how you view yourself, but how you view others. This is so important. This idea of identity is so important. It's not just how I view myself. And for example, my problem is I'm Pastor Ed. Well, what happens when the day I'm not Pastor Ed? I don't know. I don't want to think about that day. How would I handle that day? I know a lot of pastors who preached till the day they died. They did that because it was their identity. They tried to stop. They tried to quit pastoring. They tried to do something else, but it was so much their identity, they couldn't do anything without it. And I start looking and going, I think I'm on the same course. I think I'm on the same course. What am I going to do about that? Because this not only affects the way I view myself, it also affects the way I view others. That if I've got a wrong identity, I'm going to view others wrong as well. That's why this is so important, and this is a huge topic for us to try to tackle today, okay? So here's the passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 10. It's this section where Peter kind of wrestles with this. So here he goes. So as you come to him, who's him? Jesus. So as you come to him, a living stone. Why is he always going back to this? Because the resurrection is the foundation for everything. You can hear me say that a lot. But Peter understood that. I come to him a living stone. He was rejected by men, but that didn't matter. Why? But chosen and precious in God's sight. That Jesus could do what he needed to do because he understood who he was. And even though he ended up being rejected by men, he was chosen and he was precious in God's sight. And that gave him his identity to do what God had called him to do. He continues, you yourselves, okay, now he's talking about us. You are living stones. You are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He begins to look at us and he says, do you understand? You are the same way. You are a living stone. You're following Jesus. You're a living stone. And you are being built up into this spiritual house. You are being built up in Christ, and God has something great in store for you. And so he's trying to get them again, understand your identity. Your identity is tied to something, right? Watch what he does. For it says in Scripture, look, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, right? It's talking about Jesus. And whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. He's telling us where we need to put our foundation. For first century, it's hard for us to understand this because our idea of a cornerstone, I don't know about you, but I've seen these before. If you would look it up, a cornerstone is basically a corner part of a building that has a little plaque in it. And this building was erected in 1872 and by these people. That's not the first century idea of a cornerstone. The first century idea of a cornerstone. The cornerstone was the stone you got perfect. I mean perfect. You spent all your time on it. You got it square. You got it plumb. You got it absolutely perfect because everything else you were about to do would come off the cornerstone. So if you got the cornerstone wrong, it would just affect everything else. And your building would be, a mess. It would be a mess. Why? Well, I got this wrong. I got the cornerstone wrong. And everything builds off the cornerstone. He's telling us Jesus is that cornerstone. Put your faith and trust in him. Build off of him, and you will never be put to shame. So you who believe, see his value. Because he's going to make the argument, some don't see his value, okay? But for those who do not believe, there's people who don't believe. The stone that the builders rejected, because let's face it, not everybody comes to Jesus. A lot of people reject him. Oh, he isn't the way. John wrote, one of Jesus' followers, that Jesus came to his own, the Jewish people, and they rejected him. So that's what he's saying. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And, right, the cornerstone for some, but what? And a stumbling stone and a rock to trip over for others. So this is what happens. They stumble, he says, because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. He said there's some people that that's just the direction they're going to go. They're going to continue to reject Jesus. They're going to continue to reject building their lives off of him. And that's just the way they're going to go. Do you know what he's telling us? That Jesus is either our cornerstone or our stumbling stone. That Jesus is either the place we build our lives after and we build our lives on, or he becomes the thing that keeps tripping us up. He's in the way. He's just in the way. Why are you in the way? And Jesus wants us to build off of him. And yet here we are and we're just stumbling and tripping over him. And we're like, why are you in the way of all this? Because Jesus has an opinion on every part of our life. Because he's invited us to live this abundant life. And when we don't live it, it's like Jesus is saying, what are you doing? I want you to build your life off of me and experience that abundant life that I want for you to experience. But let's face it, sometimes he's just our stone to trip over. He's in the way. And we don't want his opinion. We don't want what he wants us to do. We want to do our own way. And here's what happens. What we believe about Jesus directly affects our identity. If he's just a stumbling stone that's in the way, that's going to affect how you view yourself and how you view others. If he's the stone to build off of, oh my goodness, what a life can be built off of Jesus. What an incredible, abundant life can be built off of Jesus. But what we believe about Jesus, this is going to affect our identity. This is where we're going to be stuck either, right? Either making it all about us, and it's about my professions, about what I do, or we make it about Jesus. He continues, but you, he's right, he's going to set the stage. Do you know who you are? Peter goes, do you know who you are? Because I had to learn this. I thought I was just Simon the fisherman, and Jesus comes along and changed everything. You are a chosen race. You're chosen. You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. Now remember, some of his audience are Jewish people. And he had to say, I know, right? That's what you thought it was. But those who follow Jesus, do you know what your identity is? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. That's who Jesus says we are. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are his. I don't know about you, I need to hear this. I need to hear that when you build your life in Jesus, this is who Jesus says you are. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, you are his. Sometimes the phrase we use, and it's not that it's a bad phrase, okay? I want to be upfront about that. It can be a very confusing phrase if we live too much on it. It's an important phrase at the beginning. It's an important phrase for our humility. And you know what the phrase is? A sinner saved by grace. Well, that's really important. I need to understand that I do nothing to come to Jesus, that Jesus has done everything, and I am saved by his grace. But as I leave that and I move forward, yes, I need to understand where I am. I need to understand where the beginning is. But notice what Peter says. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are his. You are not just a sinner saved by grace. And you think about, well, that's the only thing I am. No, you are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are his. Don't ever forget that. Build off that identity. What if we woke up every day and just started the day? I am following Jesus today because I am following Jesus and Jesus gives me my identity. I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, and I am his. I think that would radically change the way that we live. That, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, so I guess today I'm going to go out and sin. Just going to go out and sin. This is what I'm stuck in. Why would we think that way? When God says, no, wait a minute, you. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are His. That's important. And in fact, you're watching online, if you're on one of our platforms, just declare that in the platform, right? Just write it in the comment section. I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, I am His. Because this is going to help us understand who we are. So that, I love what Peter, right after, he just, right after he's got this mantra going, you are chosen, you are, right, you are holy, you are royal, and you are His. He says, so that. See, if you don't understand who you are, you're going to struggle with everything else that Jesus has in store for your life. So that you may proclaim the virtues of the one who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. If you don't know who you are, it's going to be really hard for you to proclaim who Jesus is and what He's doing in your life. If you just walk around, well, I guess today I'm just a sinner. By saving by grace, yay. But if I understand I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, and I am His, I can proclaim the virtues. I can proclaim who He is, the greatness of the one who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Because why? Identity is tied to purpose. God made you on purpose and for a purpose. In fact, for our Heal House, it's the little phrase that we have on our plaque. You are made for a purpose. You are made on purpose and for a purpose. And the reason that we chose that is we're going to be talking about individuals who are struggling. Many of them have been told they're an accident. Well, guess what happens if you get told that enough? You're an accident. You're a mistake. You think everything you do is an accident, a mistake, because your identity is tied to your purpose. When I understand I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, I am His, that changed everything about what I do. And then the purpose that God has called me to proclaim who He is. You once were not a people, but now you are God's people. You were shown no mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is an incredible passage because He just needs to anchor for them and for us who we are. Because it's going to be the basis for everything we are about to discover and learn. It's really important we get this right. Who are you? See, I'm hoping today, for just a moment, you are going to think differently about who you are. If you follow Jesus, if you put your trust in Him, He is your cornerstone, not your stumbling stone. He is what you build your life off of. That you would answer this question differently. This wouldn't be tied to your job. This wouldn't be tied to your status if you're married or not. This isn't tied to whether you have kids or not, or you're a grandparent, or anything else. We have a huge problem because most people have no idea who they are. And they've allowed something to define that for them. Most of us do, and I told you where I struggle with that. You have one. When I said, who are you? How did you answer? Because it told you what part of your life creeps in and begins to steal your identity. I am who Jesus says I am. I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, and I am His. I am who Jesus says I am. I am not my job. I am not my marital status. I am not my parental status. I'm not my grandparent status, whatever it is. I am not that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus at one point, as He is speaking through Paul says what? Because He's looking at these early church gatherings. And in the gathering, there's slaves and there are people who are free. There are men, there are women. There are Jews, and there are Gentiles. And he sees all these groups, and he says, you do know that's not who we are in Jesus. And I wonder if Paul would love to reflect, hey, I love what Peter said. We're chosen, we're royal, we're holy, we're his. I want us to see ourselves as Jesus sees us. That if he's the cornerstone and I build my life off of him, I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, and I am his. See, following Jesus, this has kind of been our phrase, right? We talk about this idea of following Jesus, is an invitation to know who you are and whose you are. So important. It's so important you understand who you are. Because following Jesus, and this is why we need to follow him, because we might get this wrong. In fact, I think we get this wrong a lot. And I'm telling you, our culture doesn't help. Our culture doesn't help. When you just get told constantly, well, you're in this group. You're a millennial. Okay, that's your classification. And as being a millennial, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. And that becomes your identity. Well, I'm a millennial. This is what I'm supposed to do. We allow all sorts of things to dictate to us who we are. I'm just wondering if we would just turn that over to Jesus. And as we follow him, it is an invitation to know who you are and whose you are. That I'm not my job. That I'm not what somebody else tells me that I am. I'm not a mistake. I'm not an accident. The circumstances surrounding your birth do not dictate who you are. Your job does not dictate who you are. And in these days, identity is more important than ever. It is more important than ever. You know who you are. And you know whose you are. And as you're following Jesus, Jesus invites us to know these things. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are his. And he invites us to know that about ourselves. So here's what I'd like to do for you today. Can I just challenge you in a couple areas? The first of all is you got to be honest with yourself. When I asked, who are you? What was your first reply? What's the first thing you thought about? Yeah, I know you wanted to give a churchy answer, and maybe you're embarrassed you thought that was your identity. Be honest, because it's going to help you know where you are in this journey. Okay? Where are you? And do you know who you are? Have you built your identity off of who Jesus says you are? You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, you are his. That's what happens when we start following Jesus. And we build off this cornerstone. That for many people, it's just a stumbling stone. It's just something in the way. But for us following Jesus, no, it's a way to find out who we are and whose we are. So I'd like to pray for you today. That you would understand your true identity. And that you would build your life off of Jesus. So it wouldn't be tied to your job and your status or what generation you fall into, but you would see yourself as chosen and royal and holy and his. Let me pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those who just taken the time to watch this. I'm just blown away that anybody would stop and watch. And would you help them to know who they are? I know we are so confused in our world because our identity is based on so many things that it shouldn't be. We get confused. And when we're confused, it affects everything about our lives. Because we haven't known who we are, we have damaged people, we have damaged ourselves. But maybe today we start walking in a new direction. That begins with honesty. Who do I think I am? And begins with building our lives off of you. So would you help us, Father? apart from you, I am going to find my identity in my work, in my profession. I'm going to find it in my status. And it will seem to give me some satisfaction, but all those things could get taken away. But not that I am chosen, that I am royal, and I am holy, and I am yours. That never can get taken away. I pray for all of those who are struggling deeply during this time. Perhaps their identity was in their job and it's gone. Perhaps their identity was that they were married and they've lost their spouse. Would you come close to them and help them during this time to build back off of you that they are royal, chosen, holy, and yours? Would you do that? And for those listening who have never done that, I pray today would be a day that they start following you, Jesus, and build their identity off of who you say they are. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Again, leave a comment. We would love to connect with you, help you, pray for you in any way possible. You can go to thrivingenola.com. We have places there you can connect with us, or all our social platforms, you can do it as well. But we would love to pray for you, encourage you in any way we possibly can. We're back in 1 Peter next week. We hope you will join us. And until then, we will see you next week.